The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you are with us again today. In studio with us in our continuing series, having a conversation with individuals who are vying for the opportunity to represent Iowa in the 3rd Congressional District. That is about 16 counties from Pope County all the way west to Pottawatomie County, and then from about Highway 30 down to the Missouri state line. So with us in studio is Austin Frerich. Austin is a young man who has captivated so many individuals out there by his, really, I'm not blowing smoke, man, because he is so flippin' brilliant. And we're going to have...
How much did my mom pay you to say that?
It's under the table, Austin. And so we're going to have an opportunity for you to get to know Austin we'll just have a little conversation here. Austin, welcome to the Business News.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
I saw you not too long ago, and you were with a group of, I guess there were 14, 15 people there, and I remember you leaving the group after you had spoken to them, and people said, wow, this guy's really wicked smart.
Well, I think our message is unique. I mean, I love talking about monopolies. I think it's not the board game, right, which is, by the way, I carried around with me on the campaign trail, and I hold it up. I'm like, we got to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
Because to me, Trump is a byproduct, and it's a byproduct of people just feel scared and frustrated right now. This message validates that anger and redirects in a non-nationalistic, non-xenophobic way. Because Trump's going to blame the brown person. I'm going to blame Tyson's.
Ah, okay. So corporate America, mm-hmm, for the most part,
yeah,
is driving all this.
Yeah. I mean, there's this illusion of choice. Like, go to Jordan Creek. You'll see Sunglass Hut, Pearl Vision, Lens Crafter, Sears Optical, Target Optical. It's actually all one company.
Many people don't realize that.
You don't. And I didn't realize it until I was an economist at Treasury, where we had all the corporate taxpayer data on our computer. And I was writing a paper in the fascinating National Tax Journal, let me tell you.
Oh, boy. That'll keep
I don't think
you up
anyone
night
in my family ever finished that paper, because that's part of what I hate about the academy. They write in a way that no one can understand. It's boring, blah, blah, blah. But it was this paper I realized, oh, wait, this is everything. Like, you're seeing monopolies in cracker companies. Anyone can make a cracker. So something's going on here.
So it's the combining of all of these assets into multinational companies that is having a direct impact on our lives and our political lives?
Oh, totally. And then with this economic power comes political power. Look at the Koch brothers. They're just modern-day robber barons. Most Americans believe in climate change. But then why is Al Gore making that same movie 10 years later? It's because they're buying off the system. Yeah. I mean, I saw that Treasury, and you just see the funny money slosh around.
Let's talk. We're going to talk about some policy issues and some things like that. And you jumped right into that, and it's kind of cool. But let's talk a little bit about you. Who are you, Austin?
Yeah, I'm Austin Ronald Frerich, named after my grandpa. Actually, my first name is because there's a tornado in Austin, Texas, the day I was born.
Oh, that's nice.
My mom told me that. I went to Wikipedia, and it's not. I can't find evidence of that.
But you never questioned mom, right?
No. And yeah. I grew up in a matriarchy.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
My mom runs the show. And Ronald after my grandpa.
Got it. And from where?
I'm from Cedar Rapids.
Okay. And so your background, you mentioned Treasury. What did you do there?
Yeah, so
you're not old enough to do this.
So, like, I ended up at Grinnell College. I'm the
good
first my family to go to college, and I never heard of Grinnell. I just knew it as the stop on our way to Adventureland to get gas.
Right.
But my mom was like, do you want to miss a day of school? Ended up going on a nearly full ride because this man named John Crystal.
Of course, John Crystal, yes.
Yeah, he was an Iowa banker for Coon Rap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
Gave a bunch of money for Iowa kids to go to Grinnell. Went there. And I actually went to graduate school in Wisconsin thinking I would do poverty policy. I got a full ride to study at their Institute for Research on Poverty. But it was there I realized so much our poverty policy is done through the tax code.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm liking this.
So... which is funny, too. By the way, my thesis at Grinnell was on slaughterhouse towns in Iowa. And I wrote about how they're modern-day company towns. And the monopoly, there's a term in econ called monopsony.
Monopsony?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never say it right. But monopoly is when there's one seller,
Monopsony.
There you go. Is one buyer.
Oh.
So there's only one buyer of labor in these towns.
So, for example, in Marshalltown, it's the Marshalltown pack. In Denison, it's that pack. It's those. Integrated. But it's those colossal businesses that not only buy but also sell.
Yeah. And I mean, Tyson slaughters half the hogs in this state. I mean, slaughterhouses will always be hard jobs, but those used to at least pay good middle class. They busted unions.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the American meat industry is now more concentrated than when Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle. The problem is you're having Google and Facebook, modern-day monopolies, suck up all the ad revenue from local press, not share it. And so a lot of these local papers are being hollowed out, and they can't do that kind of investigative work.
Well, not only that, Osh, I mean, you're talking about one of the areas that I love to talk about is the media. Not only are the electronic medias sucking out the lifeblood of most media outlets, but so too are conglomerates like Gannett.
Yeah. I mean, that's... But here's the thing. I got to be careful about talking about monopolies. Sinclair's buying one of the largest TV stations in this district.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got to pick your poison.
So I
bought that Monopoly board game on Amazon because you can't buy the Monopoly board game in Madison County anywhere.
Interesting. All right. So you were born and raised in Cedar Rapids.
Yep.
Went to Grinnell and then went to what?
Wisconsin.
University of Madison?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Nice liberal school.
Good beer.
Area.
Good beer.
Cheese
scores.
Good cheese. Did you become a fan of the of Green Bay? Or was it the...
So I grew up in a Vikings household, which, by the way, like this season.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, when they pulled off the Minneapolis Miracle, I think my father was more proud of that moment than when my brother graduated from college.
I'm sure.
We had all these like backup plans in case they went to Super Bowl, but I was at Wisconsin, and my first job was actually at the Library of Congress. Like, first full-time job. There's this tiny little thing called the Congressional Research Service,
mm-hmm.
which essentially your taxpayer dollars pay for 600 experts, Library of Congress, to advise Congress. By the way, those reports aren't public, even though it's like Wikipedia, but done by professionals. Dave Young does not support that.
Really?
It's like a little pet issue of mine. But worked there, and it was kind of like, you know, in psychology where there's like that glass wall and you watch kids? Kind of how it was for Congress. When you realize most of them are just professional telemarketers and the expertise is just not there. So, that was the nicest way to say that.
So you're taking on the entire Congress here, right?
No, it's the structure. It goes back to Newt Gingrich.
It's the structure. Okay,
yeah.
Tell us about that.
I'm a structure person where I don't think people realize what Newt did. Committees used to be very powerful. He consolidated all that staff and those resources into leadership. Leadership sets the conversation. On top of it, they've frozen salaries. D.C. is one of the most expensive places to live in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yet those salaries to get an entry-level job is like $30,000. On top of it, you have to take an unpaid internship. So the turnover is high. You're only getting a certain type of kid. You're getting a kid from Clive, not from the east side in the room. And then so that voice is missing. But then because of the turnover, they don't have the expertise. So they're relying on industry.
And so you're talking about staff members for congressional representatives.
Yeah.
And so these staff members, and I've been to D.C. many, many times, and these young, fresh-faced staffers are always running around going to various banquets and outings so that they can eat.
I did that circuit.
Yeah.
Taco Bell. There was always a Taco Bell day I loved.
Right. And so what you're saying is congressional representatives are not – they don't have the staff, the depth of staff to bring them information, so they rely on lobbyists.
On top of – so you have that going on. And the other bubble is the collapse of unions. I don't think as Democrats, the hollowing out of unions, what that did to our party, where essentially – because Republican money is easy. You do what you're told and you get a check. Look at Dave Young. Every one of his policy positions, you can pretty much guess by the check he took. Democrats, in order to fight that, have to telemarket all day off upper-class white professionals. So a good Democrat candidate anymore is a rich person with a good network. So you're having that happen, and you're just seeing, like, that's why these institutions are hollowing out. But you also, as a staff, have 15 members. The U.S. Department of Treasury employs 100,000 employees. So you're going up against these, you know, there's this power imbalance being compounded. And you just see why those industries.
So how do you fix that, Austin? Other than electing you, right?
Well, I mean, that's a start. But There's a few. Number one, the best thing we could do, honestly, is limit the campaign cycle. Force me not to take campaign or take a check until X amount of months before an election, like they do in England. Because it's I have to campaign for a year and a half for this job if I'm fortunate enough to make it through the primary. If you have a two-year-old, you cannot do this. Part of taking money out of politics is just, you have the whole Supreme Court, robber barons, but it's also paying these jobs more, getting better people in the room.
Better, smarter people in the room.
I wouldn't say that. It just takes a while to realize all the shenanigans going on.
Got it. When we talk about campaign finance reform, there are countries out there, Austria being one of them, that has public financing of their elections. So they say, okay, everybody's going to get $20,000, let's say. That's it. Mm-hmm. You can raise maybe five, but that's it.
Yeah.
And everything else, everybody's on a level playing field. Will that ever work here in this country?
Here's the thing. I love the notion of the laboratories of democracy. Let's have a few states try it and see what happens. I mean, that's what Social Security is. Social Security was tried on a few states. We expanded it. Let's do that. You're seeing that right now with paid leave and marijuana. So let's try it. There's no reason not to try something.
Austin Frerich, ladies and gentlemen, he is one of six individuals vying for the opportunity to represent Iowa in the 3rd Congressional District. Good stuff. We were out of time for this segment, and we weren't going to get into policy so soon.
I know, sorry.
But you're already there, man. Well, you're a policy.
I don't like talking about myself.
But you're a policy wonk, aren't you?
Well, I wouldn't say wonk. I enjoy policy.
I would say you are. But that's a good thing. Yeah. That is a good thing, because if you understand those kinds of things. All right, we're going to step aside real quick, find out what happened today on Wall Street, give you also an update on what we know about the Florida shooting. That's coming up next here on the Business News Hour.
We are young.